From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, verse 28 and following. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they'd seen. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. As we consider this day that our church calendar celebrates as Transfiguration Sunday, the glory of our Lord is evident on this holy day. As we hear in our scripture, Luke speak in verse 32 that his glory, Jesus' glory, that stood out above that of his prophet and of his voice from the church past to bring forth the messianic age of our Lord. He says also that Jesus was proclaimed in voice from heaven that this is my son, the beloved. It's not the first time that Luke has chronicled this statement about Jesus. At his baptism, the gospel writer began by saying, as Jesus came up out of the water, the voice from heaven proclaimed those same words, "This is my son, the beloved." And if we look back in Luke, the last chapter prior to this one, we see the journey where Herod begins contemplating, who is this person who brings healing to those who are sick, restoration to those who are broken physically and spiritually? Who is this one? And then Jesus asked the same question to his followers. As he's ministering with them, he says, "Who do people say I am?" And at that, Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." So it seems that Luke is sharing with us, as he did even his current day listeners and those who would read this text for the first time, that this is a reaffirmation that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed Jesus the Christ, Messiah for all the world. That's the message that we celebrate on Transfiguration. The reaffirmation, not for Jesus himself, but for us as his people, as his followers, as his modern day disciples, those who go in mission to the Philippines, those who serve outside of these walls in Ripley, in Tippah County. When we serve, we know the words of Transfiguration, that we serve in the name of the Son of God. And what does it mean to consider that Jesus is Messiah? Gerald Stevens, a biblical scholar, says this. He says that the Messianic Israel is very different from, the Mosaic Israel is very different from the Messianic Israel. He shares how Moses led the people Israel on an exodus, out of slavery, out of bondage, into the promised land. And we hear an emphasis on Moses today. But the messianic Israel was led not by Moses, but by Jesus, who also led God's people on an exodus. You see, that's the word that we hear in our scripture today. It says that Jesus was speaking with Moses and Elijah about his departure, or in the words of the Greek, about his exodus, his leaving. But friends, Jesus didn't leave this world alone, for it was through his exodus that he took all of us who would trust in him, with him, to our promised land. You see the connection of the messianic journey of our Lord and the Mosaic journey of Moses, and the transition that the church, through this transfiguration, became open for all people. You see, that's the essence of what's proclaimed through Messiah, that Jesus turned the faith upside down and said that my church, my kingdom, our heavenly realm is for any and all who put trust in me as Messiah, as your Savior. That's the journey of the cross of Calvary. That's the transfiguration, that it wasn't just that a great teacher died, but the very Son of God took on our brokenness to restore us forever. That's the story of our Messiah. But what happens when we entrust our life in Christ? You know, I think that this passage of Scripture also reminds us that life is still not challenge-free. We still are faced with adversities in the brokenness of this world. As we hear that Peter wanted to build a hut, a heritage, right on top of that mountain for them to stay. Haven't we all felt that way? We all love and cherish those mountaintops, or in the words of Garrison this morning, those revival experiences, those highs of our faith. We want to stay upon that mountain, but even as they have this transfiguration, they go back down into the valley to minister through the love of Christ. So what changes for us when we embrace Christ? If we still know challenges and adversities in our world, there is a hope that we have even now, before we enter that heavenly realm, that God our Lord, Jesus Christ our Savior, the Holy Spirit, comforts us in the valleys of life. You know, this week we were talking, some of us, about this, all the stormy weather, right, that we've had. And we got in a discussion the other night about, they came out with this invention a few years ago called a thunder shirt that you can get for your dog, right? A thunder shirt or a thunder wrap, and it's supposed to soothe them and comfort them in their anxieties of the weather challenges. Manya and I looked into that, and we thought about getting our Datsun Dash one, but I did a little more research and found out those things cost $40, so we got him old terry cloth thing instead. And you know, technology found that those thunder shirts were so effective, they've come out with something for us human people. Did y'all know that? They're called weighted blankets, a comfort blanket. I think you can even get one at Walmart, and Manya was going to get one of those for me to comfort me when she makes me sleep on the couch by myself and where I don't feel so alone. And she did a little investigating, and she found out that that weighted blanket cost $140. So she got me a dog's thunder shirt instead. But that principle is true in a far greater way when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Friends, becoming Christian, When we embrace the gift of Messiah, it's not that we won't face challenges, that the storms of life will invade us on our journey as we seek to serve Him in ministry, as we seek to live in family, as individuals, as people of faith, as we minister with love outside of these walls. We will know trial and tribulation. But the gift of our Lord is that He comes to us in comfort in a greater way than a thunder shirt or a weighted blanket could ever do. God journeys with us to give us strength and His reassurance that He is with us through every valley of life, and we, dear souls, by trusting in Him, will know the gift of that mountaintop experience eternally in heaven. You see, that's what's changed on Transfiguration Day. That we all people, I received an invitation this week from one of my colleagues at Blue Mountain College, Ronald Meeks. He wrote me, this is his invitation. Listen to these words. He sent me a text. He said, "Jody, I hope you're doing well. I just wanted to invite you to our ministers and wives banquet, which will be March 28th. He said, "The banquet's only 1 month away. Will you and Manya plan to join us?" He says, "I have a limited number of seats, so it's by invitation only. I'm important." He said, "I also have to have a yes or a no so that I'll know exactly who's coming. I hope you can join us, Ronald." Isn't that flattering, though? My dear friend invited Manya and me as one of only about 100 couples that he wanted to share in the banquet. But the challenge of that is he needed to know if we would receive his invitation, if we would respond with our yes, because he had a limited number of seats available. Friends, isn't it good news to know that our God has prepared a banquet for us, a holy, eternal feast? And guess what, dear souls? There's no limit on the number who can join in. We all are invited to the eternal feast of our Lord, not because we're so good, but because our God is so gracious. That's the gift of Messiah. A Savior that came down and opened the doors of the church for any who would put their trust, their hope in Jesus Christ as Savior. In our text today, we also hear where this scripture began with these words where Luke says, "Now 8 days after these sayings." I don't know about you, but when I hear something like that, I wonder then what came prior? What do I need to read? In those passages, here are the words that our Lord Jesus said in verse 22 of chapter 8. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer. He must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day raised to life." See, friends, Transfiguration tells us this too. Not only do we see and receive the proclamation that Jesus is the Son of God, but we hear the good news that the Son of God took His brokenness upon Himself, our brokenness upon Himself, to set us free forever. You see, this is a story that reminds us that Christ's departure from this world was to set us free from our sins forever. And all we do to share in that feast, I spoke earlier of the invitation of my friend. But you know, there is a similarity to his invitation and to that of our God. There's an unlimited number of houses in heaven built for you and me. But we too, in the spirit of my friends, simply need to respond to God with our yes. You see, there's nothing we do to earn the gift of salvation. Our God is at the door of our heart knocking, and He says, all you do is give me the yes so that I can give you my glory forever. Thanks be to God for His grace and love. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful this day.